Has anybody ever heard the? I got to get these glasses. I'm not good with the bifocals. But has anybody ever heard the term, it's all about the dash? Anybody ever heard that term? Okay, well, I'm gonna share with you that in just a little bit, that it's all about the dash. But before I do that, I know you're waiting. There was a first grade teacher. Anybody remember being in the first grade? I don't really remember it, but that was, daggone, that was 40-some years ago. I'll tell my age here. No, that's probably 50 years ago. But there was a first grade teacher, and she was teaching about whales. And in her class that day, and she asked at the end of the class if there was any questions, and one little girl, Lucy, raised her hand and had a question, and she said, teacher, do whales swallow people? And the teacher says, no, Lucy, they can't swallow people. They have a throat that's pleated, and it's designed to swallow things like plankton, tiny organisms. So they can't swallow people. So Lucy proceeds, and she says, well, Miss Thurston said that they do swallow people, and said that a whale did swallow a man one time. And the teacher proceeds. She's getting a little bit ticked because she don't like Lucy, you know, challenging her. So she says, well, whales don't swallow people. The blue whale we've been talking about today does not swallow people. And so that's just how it is. And Lucy says, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah if the whale really did swallow him. So at this point, with this comment, the teacher is red in the face and really, really upset. And she says, will you just ask Jonah when you get to heaven? But what if Jonah didn't go to heaven? What if he went to hell? Then Lucy says, well, I guess you can ask him. So there you go. First grader. What's that show? Are you smarter than a fifth grader or something? So apparently the teacher didn't have her beat. I could tell you another one, but I'll wait and I'll save that one until later. Gabe, if you'd put my little thing up on the board there, I'd appreciate it. Did anybody know this guy? Didn't know him? Well, you can see when he was born, and you can see when he passed away. The story I'm about to tell you is kind of brief as far as this goes, and then I wanted to share with you a little scripture, and I'm glad Sean said that they'd be leaving early, because I knew they were going to be leaving early and some other folks had to leave. I was afraid when they left, you would think they were kind of forming a coup sort of thing, and everybody would take off after them. So whenever you guys have to go ahead. But thank you for that word you shared with us a little while ago. Thank the Lord for our prophetic words, man. James Orland II passed away. And there was a guy reading the paper one day, and his name was James Orland II. And when he looked down at that, he had to sort of pinch himself to make sure it wasn't him. And out of curiosity, he began to read the obituary. And the obituary was pretty bland, pretty plain, pretty not much intrigue, not much there. And he looked at the date, 12/22/52, and he looked at the death date, 2/18/16, and he asked himself the question, what if this was me? What if this really had been me? And then he thought, what does this really mean? this doesn't give any significance much except the day he was born. This tells us when he died, and that doesn't really tell us anything about James Orland II. And he thinks to himself, that wouldn't really tell anybody anything much about me. So then, he looks at that. And he thinks it's all about the dash. It's all about what's in between. The birth and the death. So think about that just for a minute. So James Orland II was sitting there reading the obituary, which he decided could have been him, but he was glad it wasn't. And he had been a pretty selfish guy most of his life. But that changed his perspective on life. And he decided, I'm going to change things around because I want this dash to be something, to mean something to somebody. So with that being said, let's bow our hearts in the word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time of worship and praise to you. You're so worthy of it. You're a good, good God. You're faithful to us and you love us. And Father, I just ask for wisdom and direction to share your word and your truth. Father, the things that you have been speaking to me about over the past few weeks. And Lord, let some trickle of it just come into every heart, to every mind. And Father, I just ask that if there's any needs here today, spiritual, financial, physical, emotional, whatever they might be, that according to your riches and glory, you'd meet those needs, that you would speak to our hearts today, and that we would make you Lord in every area of our lives. I bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, there's a couple of scriptures I wanted to share, and I won't be sharing a whole lot of scripture today. I'm kind of going to share a couple of things about my life, just a couple of experiences, I guess you might say, things that I've walked through. But we're going to keep this thought here on the back burner for just a little bit, and we'll come back to that in a little while. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, I'm going to read these scriptures back to back. Ephesians chapter 5, 14 through 16, and Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul writes, and he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I want to go over to Colossians chapter 4, where he says basically the same thing. And verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So you see, in two books of the Bible, back to back, Paul saw it fit to use the words redeeming the time. It's the only time you'll see them in the Bible like that. I was walking out of church the other day, and the Lord's been speaking to me about a few different things over the past little bit, and that's kind of what I'm sharing with you today. But Doyle had kind of, I told him last week, you kind of stole my thunder, buddy. You know, he was speaking on some of the same things that I felt like the Lord was leading me in. And then Brother Sean today, some of the same things the Lord has been directing me in. But I think that's a good thing. Thank God is it just lets us know maybe we're on the right track, and that God is pointing us in a direction that he wants us to go, and that we're hopefully hearing that and seeing that. So that's an awesome thing. I'm thankful for that. But Paul uses that term, redeeming the time, twice in those two books of the Bible. And there's a Greek word. Now, those of you that know me know that I'm not any kind of a scholar of any type. You can tell by the way I talk. I mean, I'm not a scholar, but there's a Greek word called exagerazo is how you say it. That's how I read it in the concordance, so I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. But that word is what Paul was saying when he was when he gave the scripture, and it means to lay up or to improve opportunity. Now, with that in mind, and me saying that I'm not the most eloquent speaker in the world, I don't claim to be. I think I've told you this before. I was raised in McDowell County, but I don't talk like a true McDowell Countyan. I spent half of my life in Alabama, but I don't talk like a true Alabamian. I call myself sort of a crossbreed, half and half. So sometimes I'm wondering who I am, you know, coming from different places. But Brenda and I, we jive pretty well together. She's pretty redneck like me most of the time in things. And yet the other day, she said something that kind of took me aback for a second. Now, I know some of you talk with really, really good speech, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. Yes, Tim, my brother, that's who I had in mind when I said that, buddy. Especially when we're on the golf course and you're doing Forrest Gump. Yeah. But Brenda asked me, she says, what time is your doctor's appointment tomorrow? And I had to think for a second. I said, what'd you say? She said, what time is your doctor's appointment tomorrow? I'm like, where is this coming from? Now, to most of you, that sounds normal. That sounds probably normal. But to me, that sounded a little out of character, because I don't say the word time. I say the word time. I'm like, I don't know what time my doctor's appointment is, but I'll tell you what time it is. It's going to be at 1 o'clock tomorrow. I'm like, where did that come from? She said, well, you know, I've just been thinking lately that I need to sort of enunciate and pronounce my words just a little bit better. And so I told her, I said, I wish you wouldn't start with me trying it out on me, because it really set me back a little bit. But, you know, I said, that's good. I'm glad that she's wanting to improve that. And I mean, she's a very smart woman. She was very good in school, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, she's got it going on as far as that goes. And I can talk about her a little bit today because she's not here. But, y'all keep her in your prayers. They're coming back from Indianapolis today. But anyway, you know, I'm trying to do that too, I will tell you. I'm just trying to improve some areas of my life, some things that I need to work on. I'm not quite there yet when it comes to speech, but hopefully I'll get there as I move forward. My handwriting is bad. It's really bad. I used to, man, my handwriting was just, you know, I go K-E-V-I-N. Now I go K, and I go G. That's my handwriting anymore. So I have trouble reading it. Most other folks have trouble reading it. But believe me, I am trying to improve some areas of my life. And hopefully Brenda will have some impact on me on the speech part of it. So I'm trying to slow down a little bit. If I get too fast today, if I talk too fast and you can't understand me, raise your hand, ask me to repeat it. I'll be glad to do that. People have to ask me all the time, what'd you say? Because I get just sort of in a hurry, I guess. But here recently, just a couple of weeks ago, we had the opportunity to go to New York and take a bus trip up to New York. And I'd only been once before, and that was like for a day. And we were up there picking up some kitchen cabinets a few years ago. Jacob and myself and my nephew from North Carolina, we went up there to get some kitchen cabinets. And I said, guys, we'll probably never be this close to New York again. It was in New Jersey where we was getting them. And I said, let's run on into the city and let's check things out for a little bit. So we took a train into the city. And it was like 20 degrees out, snowing. It didn't stop us from eating one of those hot dogs on the street, though, did it, Jacob? We enjoyed that. But it was a good trip. And but this past couple of weeks ago, we had the opportunity to go with some family members up to New York. And I wanted to tell you not so much about the New York part of it, but a stop that we made in between here and getting to New York. We had a little time on our hands. The bus driver decided he would take a little detour into Washington, D.C. And so that was that was very sobering, very exciting for me, because I am a major advocate of the history of our nation. I believe that our nation was founded simply because God saw fit to form this nation and give some guys a vision to break away and become independent, and I'm thankful for that. I would say, picking up on what Sean said a while ago, if you do want to see the monuments and the statues, you might want to call beforehand to see if they're still there, because you just don't know these days. And that's sad to say, but it is very true. We don't know what's happening, what's going on, but I'm thankful that God does. I'm thankful that we serve a God that is all-seeing, all-knowing, and we can put our trust and confidence in Him no matter what. So don't despair, don't worry. God's got it in control. I promise you that. But we had the opportunity to, although it was raining when we got to Washington, D.C., we stopped by Arlington Cemetery. And that's one of the most sobering sights I've ever seen, to see all the tombstones that are there in a line, thousands and thousands. And then we went by the Washington Monument. We saw the Capitol building. We saw the Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Monument. And it was just a really good part of our New York trip to get to stop there in D.C. for just a little bit. When I got back, I'm thinking about that trip and, you know, how it relates to what's going on in my life right now. And I got to thinking about a song that a guy did several years ago. And some of you will know this song. Tony, I'm sure you've had to endure it many times, because Doyle likes country music. And I've never been the biggest country music fan, but this is one that Aaron Tippin used to sing that I actually really did like. You know this one? You want to do it for us if you don't care? It's called "You've Got to Stand for Something." Now, you remember this song and remember the video that he did years ago? And he's talking about his dad and how he admired his dad, and his dad stood on principle and stuck to his guns when it was when he believed in something. He stood by it, and he stuck with it. Here's just a little bit of it. Said he'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right, and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything." Go look at the words to that song sometime, and think about it. I think that song is just so, I don't know, I think it's really profound. I think it's really a song that could apply to each of our lives today, and if we would allow it to, you know, to just sort of, we'd listen to it and read those words. We should all stand for something. But we should know what we're standing for. So I'm trying to make myself clear. There are people today that are standing for something, but they have no idea what they're standing for. That's why you see the chaos going on in our nation right now and in the world. They don't know what they're standing for. They think they do, but they don't. But thank God, as Christians, hopefully we do. Hopefully we know the direction the Lord's leading each of us in, the path that He has us going down, and that we're standing for the right thing, that we're standing on principle and living it daily. I don't do a lot of Facebook. I'm on there. A lot of you guys are my friends on there, and hopefully I'm your friend too. But I just don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. Nobody needs to know when I went to the bathroom. They don't need to know. I don't drink coffee. They don't need to know when I'm drinking a root beer or anything like that. But there's so much junk on there. People want you to know everything that's going on in their lives. But I've got a nephew that I put his rants and raves off long enough, and I couldn't take it no more. He doesn't believe in God. just as a lot of people, just as a lot of millennials don't believe in God. A lot of older folks that don't believe in God. And he made a statement the other day that was derogatory toward Christians, toward Christian men. And it was in relation to the Charlottesville thing. And I just had to respond. I felt like I needed to respond to that one. So, I tried to do it in a loving way. Seriously, I didn't get on there and talk a bunch of junk or anything like that. I just tried to do it in a loving way. But I let him know that I didn't support what went on. I didn't support the white supremacist part of that, and I didn't support the, and I can't think of the name of the other group that was, there's a name for that particular, Antifa, yeah. I don't support that. And I'm not going to get in a big political message with you today, although I could, but I won't do that. But I saw both, to some extent, whatever extent, in the wrong in that whole thing. But when he said what he said about Christians, I had to respond. And, of course, you know when you respond on Facebook, you're going to get some activity. So Gabrielle, she wrote, I have no idea who Gabrielle is. I'm sure they call her Gabby for short. But Gabrielle wrote back and she said, I don't want to get in the middle of your family matters, but I don't believe you should be sharing your religious beliefs, that you religious people should be sharing your religious beliefs on Facebook. Oh, my. And it's all I could do is to not, you know what I'm saying? To not respond, but I did respond. But these are probably the two, if you go back and ever read these posts, these are probably the only two times for years that I have put anything on Facebook of any significance. I mean, I put something on there about our horse here a while back, you know, dying, but I just don't spend any time. I don't have time. Life is too busy to be spending it online. I mean, it really is. But I told Gabrielle, I said, ma'am, I don't know you from Adam, and you don't know me. I said, but I really don't like to be called religious. Now, you can call me a Christian all day long, but please don't call me religious. And I said, I'm going to tell you, I don't mind you sharing your beliefs, because I'm going to share mine. When it comes to my Christian beliefs, I will share them till the day I die. I said, don't ever try to shut me up from that. And I told her, I said, I love you, and even though I don't know you, I said, but more than I could ever love you, God loves you. And I told her, I said, I'm going to pray that you and my nephew have ears to hear and eyes to see how much God loves you. So much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die so that you could have life more abundantly. And you will never be able to say that you've not heard the gospel. You now have a decision to make. I won't make any more comments to this post because I've said all that I need to say. And I basically just told her the ball's in your court. You see, I could have gone on. I could have still been going on. This was a few days ago. I could have still been going on, jumping on Facebook, you know, every little bit to see what they wrote so I could respond. But all I needed to do is say what I said and just leave it. And I did tell her, I said, you know, we can take our comments offline. I said, I mean, off out of the public's view. I said, I'll be glad to talk with you anytime. I said, I want to share my Christian viewpoints with you, and I'll be glad to hear yours. And I've always been like that. If the Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door, I don't smack them back off the porch and say, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I welcome them. I'll say, listen, I'll listen to what you have to say, but you're going to listen to what I have to say too, because I'm going to share with you the truth. So I've always been like that. But like I said, I don't have a lot of time to spend on Facebook and things, but I did really feel impressed to share, you know, those couple of thoughts with her and with my nephew in response, in defense of the Christian faith. Guys, it's all about the dash. It doesn't matter when you was born. I was born on a holiday, April the 1st. This is John L. Lewis Day, okay? All right, it's April Fool's Day, whatever. I don't know when I'll go. It could be today. So that what was up there could say 8/20/17 for Kevin. But I've come to the understanding that it's not about the date of birth and it's not about the date of death. It's everything that's in between. And God has called me to redeem the time. He's called me to improve opportunities, to make it all that it can possibly be. And if you'll notice what Paul said in that, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. You see, there are a lot of people today that really think that they're on the right track and that they're doing what's right. They really are thinking that they're on the right track. The folks that are out there tearing the statues down or the ISIS, you know, organization, these guys think they're on the right track. They really do. So it's important that you and I, in order to be on the right track, the only way we can do it is to ask for wisdom, is to walk in wisdom. To get wisdom, it's pretty simple. James said in 1:5, I think it is, that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he'll give it. When it's that word upbraideth means he won't scold you. He won't smack you. He won't scoff at you because you're asking for something. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to know how to walk in wisdom. He wants us to know how to walk in response to that term, redeeming the time. He wants us to make the dash in our lives everything it can be. And it's great to come in and worship. That's awesome. I love to do that. I love to spend time worshiping. Love to spend time, you know, hearing the Word. We have some great ministers of the Word here. We're blessed. I mean, we are really, really super blessed. I feel privileged to be a part of this fellowship. I really do. And I'd say you do too, each of you. But Chris Christian sang a song years ago. It said, we've got to come down from the mountaintop. You know, he said, I'd love to live on the mountaintop, fellowshipping with the Lord. I'd love to live on the mountaintop where I love to feel my spirit soar. But I've got to come down from the mountaintop to the people in the valley below, or they'll never know that they can go to the mountain of the Lord. For any of you that are anywhere close to my age, you'll remember Chris Christian. Most of you probably don't. But he wrote some good songs, and that was probably one of the better ones, I think, that he ever wrote. But we have to come down. We have to, you know, we can't worship all the time. We can't be in church all the time. We've got to go outside these walls. And you hear our pastors talk about this all the time. You know, week after week, we hear this, and this is so true and so imperative. This is out there is where it's at. Out there, in ministering to the lost and being an example is and redeeming the time. We don't redeem the time in here necessarily. We might learn how to, but we really go out there. That's where we spend most of our time. So is sharing with others the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can do that a lot of times, most of the time, without even saying a word. My dad used to say, I'm a preacher's kid. I was raised in a home where my dad was a pastor all my life. My dad used to say, son, you may be the only Bible anybody ever reads or somebody ever reads. And I didn't really know so much what he meant back then, but as I've gotten older, I realize what he's talking about, that my life may be the only Jesus that someone may see because they may not be going to church. You know, they may not go to church where we get the word on a regular basis. You know, they may not be turning on the radio and hearing praise and worship music. They may not be turning on the TV and hearing someone speak. They may not be fellowshipping with their circle of friends. May not be someone that, there may not be anyone that is favoring God or favoring Jesus Christ in their circle. And they may not hear. So my life, when they come into our little store over there, or they see me at the car wash, or they see me on the street, or wherever, may be the only Bible that they read. That may be all they get. So, you know, the question is, what are they reading? You know, that's the question I have to ask myself, is what are they getting? So, I know my message is very, and most of you that know me know that I'm pretty simple-minded, and I'll be the first to tell you I am. But as Pastor Sean said a while ago, though it seemed like a simple prophecy, the truths were deep as they go. The scripture says, in that real, real simple scripture that we've read over and over again, all of us can quote it, in Matthew, to as others have done to us, let's do unto them. And I know it sounds trite, sounds really simple, but think about that for just a minute. How do I want people to treat me? Am I treating them the same way? And I'll tell you, I miss it a lot of times there. I get a little road rage sometimes. Probably you don't, but sometimes I do. I hate somebody to cut me off. And I really hate somebody to flip me off, you know, when I'm out there. And I've had that happen a time or two. Yeah, that's it. Sean's got the look back there, man. Yeah, that's it. But, you know, I have to catch myself sometimes, you know, because I miss it. I'll get wrapped up in the moment sometimes, and I'll definitely miss it. But it takes me seeking the Lord on a daily basis, on a regular basis, you know, to know what His will is, to know that to be walking in that wisdom that he has for me, so that my perspective is not right, so that the principles that I'm living daily are not inaccurate, like my nephews who don't believe, or like Gabrielle's, who is a scoffer of Christians and thinks that Christians shouldn't share their viewpoints. So, you know, these people are just blind. And we all have them in our lives, guys. We work with them. We play ball with them, go to the gym with them. Whatever we do, they're in our families. And they simply don't have the right perspective. And sometimes preaching at them, that usually don't get it. They really don't get it. That's not going to get the job done, but just living it out daily before them is a way to get it done. In closing, you know me, I got to do a song. I promise you I'm not going to sing it, though, but we're going to play a song in a little bit. But in closing, and talking about living it out, I have a neighbor that, and I'm going to try to do this. You know how soft-hearted I am. I'm going to try to do this without crying. But I have a neighbor who, to my knowledge, doesn't really know Christ and isn't saved. I can't really speak to that totally, but, you know, just to my knowledge. But a few weeks ago, we were in the bed, Brenda and I, and one of our horses, it was pouring the rain. It was 2:30 in the morning, and one of our horses came down to the bedroom window and said something. Now, I didn't say, "Kevin, come on out here," but it did. It said something because it wasn't supposed to be there at the bedroom window. It was supposed to be at my neighbor's house, both of them. And they were supposed to be over there grazing. I'd put them over there on July the 4th. Well, apparently when the fireworks went off, I've lost my mom and my dad, and I've been there when both of them passed away. I've lost a brother, and I've lost uncles and aunts and all kind of people. But I'm telling you, that was one of the hardest weeks of my life. That was a tough week. I'm going to get through this. We were in the bed, and they were supposed to have been next door. And here's one of the horses I hear nickering outside And I told Brenda, I said, I hear one of the horses out there. And it's pouring the rain. I said, I better get up and see what's going on. And so I got up, went out, and there was Prancer, you know, hanging out. And I got on one of the four-wheelers. I headed up in the mountains. Brenda was with me. It's pouring the rain. We get up in the woods, and this is 2:30 in the morning now. We stop up there in the woods, and I yell out for Molly. And when I do, she yells back. She, in her way, the same way she would when I'd pull in the driveway, you know, and I'd whistle at her, and she would yell at me in her hoarse voice. So I got up in the woods, and I found her. And she was tangled up in a fence. And we cut her out of the fence. And I had to go back down to the house and get some tools. So we cut the fence off of her, and she couldn't get up. So if you've ever tried to lift a 1,000-pound horse, and you're a tiny guy like me, it's pretty hard, pretty impossible to do. So I got on the phone, and I called my neighbor. And within a half hour, he was there in the woods with me and my wife, pouring rain and ready to help and do whatever he could. He didn't bat an eye when I called him. He just came up there immediately. And he stayed with me for hours on end, and he hung there with me, and until we had to put our horse down. But that said something to me. If he passes before me, and I could put something on his tombstone, I would write, "He was there for me when I needed him." Pastor Doyle wants his to say, "He encouraged me." Some of you may have something that you want on yours when the time comes. So I wonder, as we live our daily lives, and as we think about that dash in the middle of those dates, what will it say when it's all said and done? I pray that we're making choices and decisions daily, every day of our lives, now, so that others will see Christ in us. We'll see His goodness. We'll see His hands of mercy, that they'll hear His voice of encouragement, and that their lives will be changed because of us. Let's bow our hearts. Father, thank you. You're a good God. You do far more than we could ever ask or think. And when your word says that we're to ask for wisdom, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. And I ask for wisdom. I ask for wisdom for every one of us. Lord, we live in volatile times. You know the future, and we don't necessarily. Oh, we read your word, and we read prophetic teaching, Father, and we know certain things are going to take place before Christ returns, but day by day, Father, we don't really know what's going to happen. We don't really have the full picture in front of us. So we need your peace, your hope, your encouragement to make it through the times that we live in, and to make it through them so that we can redeem the time. Father, make us to walk soberly every day. Make us to make choices every day that, Lord, will honor you and glorify your name. And remind us that we might be the only Bible that person ever reads. So that, Father, when we come to the end of our day, when we come to the end of our time, that that dash will have meaning for the kingdom of God. That we will have made decisions and done things and touched lives that have been changed for the glory of the kingdom of God. Father, I ask for your protection and your guidance and your peace for those that are traveling today. And I give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, if y'all just play that song, just listen to this song from Philip Sanford from about the early 1990s.